From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. Had a wonderful evening last night at the Red Mass dinner. Which was at the Sutter Club, right across the street from the state capitol and just a couple of blocks from the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament. And what a wonderful, wonderful evening as the Deacon Diaz was honored with the St. Thomas More Award and the St. Thomas More Society awards this to a deserving person, usually from the legal profession, and been some great past winners. Rita Spillane was the master of ceremonies and did a fabulous job, and a lot of the previous winners I saw there as well. It was just a wonderful, wonderful event. If you've never been to the Red Mass itself, which takes place before the dinner, it is just a spectacular, if you can describe Mass as spectacular, it's wonderful to see all these people from, the legislative branch, the attorneys, judges, on and on, who are trying to make this a better world. And we were very, very fortunate to have all those people there. And Gina McAdam and her great committee did a wonderful job putting together the Red Mass dinner, the St. Thomas More dinner. So if you've never done it, mark it on your calendar. It's usually very early in October. This year it was on the 1st of October. Well, we're pleased to welcome in Nicole Zamora by phone. Nicole is the Director of Community Outreach for Catholic Cemetery. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning, Gabe. How are you?
Doing very good. This is Bob. Gabe.
Oh, so sorry. Yep. Gabe,
I'm giving Gabe the day off.
Oh, that's so funny. It's early, I think.
How are you?
I am doing well, Bob. Thank you. Exciting times here at Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services.
Yes. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So we just had our first ever open house weekend across five of our properties. So here at St. Mary's, Calvary, All Souls. Then we were out in Woodland and also in Colusa. And that was the weekend of the 21st and 22nd. And, folks got to come by and take tours and just learn a little bit more about us. But the thing we were most amazed at is so many people still don't know that we also are their local Catholic funeral home.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right. I think as hard as it is to believe, there are a lot of people who don't know about you folks.
Yes. You know, so many are like, oh, you know, I know about your cemetery, you know, especially St. Mary's. Again, it's been here for almost 100 years, and people are pretty familiar. But once we let them know that, you know, they can be in the care of Catholics from the time someone passes away, and we could be that mortuary for them, too, it kind of brings them a sense of, it helps them come to peace. And
yes.
Then, of course, you know, one of the big things that we like to discuss with folks is about pre-planning. So doing this planning ahead of time for your, you know, final wishes so that people, you know, your family can actually know what it is that you would like done and how we can follow those Catholic rites.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So talk about the pre-planning, or just the planning.
Yeah, the planning altogether, right? So, of course, we are here. If someone were to pass away, we're one number, and we're able to help folks through that planning process at what's called the at-need planning. But really where families tend to get the most out of what we do is pre-planning. So, mm-hmm. you know, you come in, you're thinking of, you know, we plan for so much stuff, right? We plan before we get married. We plan for retirement. We plan for our careers. And then, you know, when you think of something, you know, toward the end of your life, folks tend to shy away from it. And so really, we want to help them start that conversation. We want to help them understand that, you know, the first meeting with us is really that. It's a question and an answer session. We have tools that will help them. We have our personal planning guide, which one of our family service advisors sits down with them and kind of walks them through how to fill that out. One of the biggest things that happens is that if pre-planning isn't done, when someone does pass away and they're still sitting, you know, in our rooms with a funeral director, we ask, okay, is it a full body burial or is it cremation? Is it a, you know, are we looking to do the vigil and then the funeral mass? And people are just like, I have no idea. I have no idea what mom would have wanted, you know?
Right.
So if you allow yourself to come in and talk about this ahead of time, one, you get, you know, questions answered. You get to speak with your family, and it makes it so that it's a conversation. It's really kind of really leaving your legacy behind.
So what all is involved for if people wanted to sit down with you, what all is involved?
Yeah. So, you know, to come in, the easiest thing to do is you can go on our website, kind of a long website, cfcssacramento.org, or you can find us right there on the diocese website, scd.org, and then you go to Catholic Funerals and Cemeteries. And you can learn a little bit that way. You can give us a call at 916-452-4831. And then what happens is you'll be paired up with a family service advisor. The role of the family service advisor is to sit down with you and start asking questions. You know, okay, as you think about your end of life, first of all, do you have anything already planned? So we hear a lot of times people will say, yeah, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you know, we got our plans. We have everything in order. And so what we can do is we can look through that with you. Do you truly have everything in order? Because, of course, 10 to 15 years ago, we did not do funerals yet. So, you know, we can then help folks understand that there is even another part to this, which is the funeral part of it. Mm-hmm. And so that family service advisor then, you know, again, kind of goes through it's questions back and forth, and then we get into the, okay, this is the cost. Here's what the cost is if you're looking to do X, Y, and Z. Here is the cost. Here are programs that we have to help our, you know, our Catholic brothers and sisters as far as no-interest financing for, you know, certain terms. We have payment plans that will work for everyone. So we don't want cost to be what turns you away. You know, mm-hmm. there's different incentives throughout the year. And again, really just looking for folks to start that conversation. Allow us to have a seat at the table where, you know, we're communicating. We start with a prayer because, of course, we are grounded in faith. So, you know, we're gonna put ourselves all at ease and then really kind of get into the conversation. As you might imagine, a lot of people are, you know, hey, what about cremation? I heard that's, you know, a cheap option. Well, really, we're here to, again, grounded in faith, to let folks know what the, you know, what the approved Catholic way is with cremation. And, of course, the Conference of Bishops are going to tell us that the body should be present at the vigil, the body should be present at that mass, and then the cremation takes place, mm-hmm. and then, of course, the committal to follow. So we walk people through that. You know, tons of questions, as you can imagine, come up from, well, what does that mean? How does that work? I don't have that much time, you know. My family is traveling in from all over. So, again, that's what our family service advisors do, is they sit down and they really tailor it to what's important to you, all the while ensuring that we're sharing our faith and sharing the beliefs of the church.
So what about folks who, you know, today somebody dies unexpectedly and they haven't made any plans? Is it too late for them to avail themselves of your services?
Oh, my goodness, no. So that is what we do day in and day out, 365 days, a year. We are here for folks if you lose someone. Yeah. The conversation is then just a little bit different, right? One, we're dealing with time-sensitive now.
Right.
We're also dealing with folks in the state of grief. And so we have wonderfully trained funeral directors, funeral arrangers, and, of course, our family service advisors are still a part of that communication as well, too. So we'll walk you through. Again, we can be that one phone call where someone passes away. You don't know who else to call. Trust, again, trust that your Catholic funeral home is here for you. So your listeners can feel rest assured that it's one phone call. We pick up your loved one, and then we meet with you. You know, we cover everywhere, you know, from all the way from Vallejo up to Colusa, over to Grass Valley. We are truly here, you know, and of course Sacramento. I didn't mention Sacramento, but we're here in Sacramento, Roseville, all these areas, and we are able to go and meet with you as well, too. So if Calvary's closest to you, you know, we can have that meeting with you at Calvary, and you'll be rest assured, again, that your loved one is being cared for by Catholics. And the conversation then goes into, okay, what is this? How can we help you? What are you looking for? What did Mom, Dad, you know, your loved one want? What is it that you want? And so then, you know, we really encourage folks to have that funeral mass back at their parishes, and that's a wonderful way to ensure that that connection is still there. Plus, if we think about it, our community really does want to wrap their arms around us in a giant hug as we're going through this time of need.
Wow. So what percentage of people have the pre-planning, and what percent are just, you pick up the phone and it's somebody on the other end saying somebody just died?
That is great. I don't know that we have those numbers, but I would definitely, you know, be interested in following up some more with our, you know, our management team and looking into those numbers. I can tell you from you know, where we sit, the percentage of people that get to grieve and get the ability to just kind of take care of those other tasks, once their family members have pre-needed, we have 100% rate in them being appreciative of the fact that their loved ones did, you know, take care of pre-needing ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there are some situations that, you know, pre-need are just, it's not there, right? You lose someone young. You know, you're just not even at the age that you're thinking, hey, I should think about pre-needing. So again, of course, we're here. We're here to be that comfort for you. We're here to help, you know, guide you to your priest and have him offer you that spiritual guidance that you need. So again, that is what sets us apart, right? Also to know that any of the money that you spend here with us is then reinvested back into the diocese. So when we do have, you know, brothers and sisters that maybe just absolutely cannot afford anything, right? We are here. We are here for those brothers and sisters of ours that need our help. We're going to ask that your priests get involved and, you know, let us know that there is a need. We're going to ask that you come to us right away. Someone passes away. Let us be that first call so that we can help you, you know, navigate the waters that you'll be traveling through.
Long ago, there used to be, and I don't know necessarily in this diocese, but I remember up in my hometown of Portland a long time ago that there were cemeteries that also had like a Catholic section or something like that. Does that still exist?
So Catholic sections are what our secular cemeteries would do. So not the ones owned by the diocese. So our 11 cemeteries, you know, St. Mary's, again, Calvary, All Souls in Vallejo, the many St. Joseph cemeteries that we have, there's no sections. The whole entire cemetery is consecrated mm-hmm. ground and Catholic. Mm-hmm. If we were to go to maybe a city-owned cemetery or, you know, a privately-owned or a corporation-owned one, they might do something called a Catholic section. That's mm-hmm. where they're going to, you know, kind of get a section of one of their lawns, usually name it after a saint. And then, you know, one, when you do lay your loved one to rest, of course, the priest can go out and bless that grave. But it's most definitely not held to the same reverence that we do here on consecrated mm-hmm. grounds, right? So here, right. we're going to have the ability to say Mass, right? That other places can't do that. So we have Masses every Saturday at 10 a.m. where your loved one is being prayed for. Also, right, All Souls Day is coming up. So yes. I'd like your listeners to know we have a few events around that. So 10 a.m. Mass at Calvary in Citrus Heights, 10 a.m. Mass at All Souls in Vallejo, and then a beautiful bilingual Mass at St. Mary's outside at 3 p.m., where, again, we're praying for those souls that have gone before us. Bob, of course, you know this, right? If we pray during this time for those souls that are stuck in purgatory, mm-hmm. we're helping some of them, right, be released into the glory of the and into the kingdom. And so we really, that's, again, what holds us above and beyond any Catholic section that a different, you know, cemetery might have. Mm-hmm. I mean, ours is all consecrated ground.
Very good. And, of course, All Souls Day, November 2nd, so a month from today.
Yes, and, exactly, a month, yes.
And you have, you throughout the year, you have remembrances. You have something at Christmas time, too.
We do. We have a beautiful remembrance tree and candlelight vigil the second week in December where we, if you have a loved one laid to rest here with us, you can come on in the Friday right after Thanksgiving. We have plastic ornaments, clear plastic ornaments that you can come pick up. Decorate it for your loved ones and then hang it on our Christmas tree. Those are blessed during that vigil that we do have that second week in December. And it's a beautiful way to remember your loved ones. So my mom is buried out at Calvary. And I know one of our, you know, what's become, you know, one of our favorite time of the years now is to go out, get those ornaments and decorate it, right? My youngest son was like, ooh, can we put, you know, her favorite food in there. And I'm like, well, food might be, you know, not so good, but how do we right. put her favorite recipe in there, you know? Right. And so they draw her pictures and they, you know, put it in this little ball and they hang it up on the tree. And it's just a way, you know, to be there with other folks that have lost their loved ones, you know, within the year, within whatever year you lost someone. We'd love to, you know, celebrate really their lives with you, right? They were important. They lived. They were a soul that was here on earth. And so come to the Remembrance Tree celebration. Again, that's going to be up on our website under events.
Right. And that happens in December. Do you have a Memorial Day as well?
Yes, we also do a Memorial Day Mass. Bishop Jaime Soto is here at St. Mary's. That's 10 a.m. on Memorial Day. We follow that by a patriotic celebration where we invite the folks from, you know, the Air Force bases, the Army, really all different levels and, you know, the different branches of the military to come out, and we usually have a beautiful celebration, again, starting with Mass. Folks come, even if their loved ones weren't in the military, right? It's a special day to remember our loved ones. And then throughout the year, we do different things for Mother's Day. We have different events at the cemetery, again, to, you know, back to where we started, to really start the conversation so that people, again, can feel the beauty of being on consecrated grounds, can come in and have a no-pressure conversation with one of our family service advisors. And, again, just really get to kind of learn what your Catholic, you know, cemeteries and funeral homes are here for.
Indeed. Are your cemeteries, this is a curiosity question, because I know people love to visit, but sometimes it's odd hours. Are your cemeteries generally open all day, every day?
So the cemeteries are open, yep, 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. Now, if you imagine that we're going, you know, it's going to kind of follow the sun.
Yeah.
So we open those gates, you know, in the morning. Spring or summer and winter hours are a little bit different. Those are, again, posted on our website. But if memory serves me correct, I believe it is a 7 a.m. on during the summer with a 6 p.m. Closing. And then, of course, in the winter, I believe it's still a 7 a.m. opening and then a 5 p.m. closing, mm-hmm. though. Again, because of the sun, right? We want to ensure that the people that are here visiting their loved ones are safe. You know, we don't, the cemeteries have some lighting, but again, you know, it's pretty dark, and so we want to ensure the safety of all of our guests.
And that's, then they're open, like you say, 365 days a year.
Yes. And, you know, people come out, they visit their loved ones, and that's a beautiful part about a Catholic cemetery, again, is it's truly peaceful. You see people sitting and praying and,
yes,
you know, just really, truly remembering that loved one that they have lost.
Nicole, give us the contact information another time.
Okay. So the website is cfcssacramento.org. Or if it's easier, you can find us through the diocese website at scd.org and then under Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral. Our phone number is 916-452-4831. And that's going to be for St. Mary's Cemetery and Funeral Center here in Sacramento. If you're over in Vallejo, All Souls Cemetery and Funeral Center is 707-644-5209. And then if you're out in Woodland and Calusa, you can give us a call at 530-438-4998.
Very good. And again, is there anything I didn't ask you wanted to add?
No, just again, thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit about our ministry. We do visit parishes, so mm-hmm. that is one of my favorite parts about this job, is I get to visit over 65 parishes throughout the diocese where we share our ministry. So if you see us there, please come out and say hello. We will be heading over to Fairfield here soon and different parishes throughout Sacramento, and we would again love the opportunity to get to meet some of your listeners.
When you go out to the parishes, which I think is, it's a wonderful thing and it must be wonderful for you as well, what are the toughest questions you get asked, or what are the questions that maybe you didn't expect?
Yeah, I think our toughest questions are going to be, you know, where people whisper to us, well, I want to be cremated, so I know that you guys don't do that. And we're like, well, no, you know, since 1963, cremation has been allowed by Vatican II. We have, you know, here at our care center, we actually own a retort, so we do the cremations in-house. And so that is, you know, again, one of those obstacles that we're looking to overcome, that people understand that, again, you know, it is here. What we're going to let folks know is we definitely don't divide up those ashes. They all need to be laid to rest on consecrated ground. And then the other toughest part is, you know, folks just, again, not knowing that we're also that mortuary, that funeral home. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll tell us, like, oh, well, you know, Grandma's buried out at All Souls in Vallejo, but, you know, we didn't know you guys were a funeral home. And so, again, just, you know, kind of sharing that message, spreading that that fact that that is part of our ministry as well.
Do you get people asking you, do you get a good number of people after Mass?
It's a hard subject to talk about.
Exactly.
So when the National Funeral Directors Association did a survey, they found out that 89% of people over the age of 40 feel that it's important to have end-of-life discussions. I like to joke when I'm in those rooms, you know, at the parishes or the parish hall or, you know, whatever room I'm in having our workshop, that there clearly isn't 89% of the congregation sitting in that room with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, because it's tough, and we understand that. Different, you know, cultures have different ways that they talk about death, and so really, really, I think the most important message I can share is that coming to us to start the conversation is truly okay. Again, you're going to feel safe. We're going to begin with prayer. You know, we're going to share with you in a no-pressure atmosphere, and we're really going to ask you questions, walk you through a personal planning guide that you get to keep, right? At that first appointment, that personal planning guide is yours, and you're going to write down all these things in it that mean something to you, whether you purchase something with us or not. That is, again, our gift to folks so that they at least have it written down, right? So maybe, maybe they're not ready. You know, something happens, their family will at least have this guide to help walk them through what the next step should be.
Very good. Well, Nicole, always a pleasure to talk with you, and thanks for all the great work you do. I know it's sometimes not easy, but people are lucky to have you there.
Ah, well, thank you. Thank you, Bob. Thank you as well for your ministry and where, you know, the rest of the diocesan ministries can share what we do, and so your listeners will be able to at least feel hopefully a little bit more comfortable, you know, when they're ready to start that conversation.
Very good. Well, it's always a joy talking to you, and I'll look forward to our paths crossing again soon.
Of course. Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless. That's Nicole Zamora from Catholic Cemeteries and Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral Services here in the Diocese of Sacramento. And you can go to scd.org to learn more. And they rightly are very, very interested in, you know, pre-need planning, and they have a lot of very, very compassionate and good people there to help you through what is obviously a very difficult process at a very difficult time, but something that we all ultimately face. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need.
Hi, this is Laura Lynn, Assistant Director for Lay Formation, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Welcome back. That's me. Appreciate that, and appreciate the intro from Laura Lynn. You know, I was at the dinner for the St. Thomas More dinner, and they honored Deacon Sergio Diaz. And oh my goodness, his talk. You know, after he accepted the award from Bishop Soto, and his talk was so moving and so Christ-centered. And you know, all these things he has done throughout his life, giving credit to the good Lord for being there with him, being walking with him. It's just a beautiful, beautiful. I maybe it was recorded. If it was, I will certainly find out and let you know, because it was a beautiful talk. Sergio Diaz, one of a long line of people honored, those honored at St. Thomas More Award. Jim Mize started in 2006, and then Michael Verga, Rita Spillane, Dan McVeigh, Joe Simkowick, Lawrence Garcia, Paul Starkey, John Kenny, Troy Nunley, Louis Morrow, Robert Frasche, Eric Heinz, and Angela Lay, and then of course Sergio Diaz. Sergio was he's just a remarkable man. Had a full legal career. Talked about having to drop out of law school when his mother died, and yet and then all the friends that helped him get back, you know, get back to law school and helped him get through law school at Loyola Law School in the Los Angeles area, and had a full legal career, including public service for the Sacramento County District Attorney's Office, the Yolo County Public Defender's Office, State of California Department of Managed Health Care, and the Department of Developmental Services before retiring from state service in 2013. He entered the Diocese of Sacramento's Diaconate Program, was ordained to the permanent diaconate in 2014. This is after his legal career. Served the parish of St. Ignatius Loyola in the Arden Arcade area as a deacon from 2014 to 2018, and is currently serving Sacred Heart Parish here in Midtown Sacramento. Sergio volunteered for Voluntary Legal Services Program of Sacramento and the Sacramento County Public Law Library at the Lawyers in the Library program twice a month since 2010. That's where he assists underrepresented litigants with their legal issues in both English and Spanish. He was the recipient of the Voluntary Legal Services Program's Pro Bono Volunteer of the Year Award, named after June Black. Sergio ministers to victims and offenders at new and old Folsom State prisons in a restorative justice project called Bridges to Life. Through 13-week programs, prisoners serving significant sentences, including life sentences, work on bringing rehabilitation, reconciliation, and community safety into their lives, including writing letters of apology to their families and the families of their victims. There's a waiting list to enroll in this course that has no credit for time served. Sergio is also active in the Gang Awareness Prevention Program at the Sacramento Juvenile Hall. This mentorship program tries to break the cycle of gang involvement, provides mentors when the young men at Juvenile Hall are released. It's a faith-based program that counsels these youth in changing their lifestyles and helps them to grow spiritually. He has also volunteered with My Sister's House, Opening Doors, Catholic Spanish Radio, Cristo Rey High School, and the city of Rancho Cordova. Coming from Mexico through Los Angeles to Sacramento at a young age, Sergio attended St. Francis Grammar School, and he mentioned last night all the people that helped him and his siblings so that they could attend Catholic school. Then he went to Christian Brothers and UC Davis, got a Bachelor of Arts in International Relations, and then obtained his Juris Doctorate from the Loyola Law School in Los Angeles. So just a wonderful, wonderful recipient of the St. Thomas More Award last night at the Sutter Club here in Sacramento. We'll take a quick break. Back with more right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hello, this is Mark Ross from the Diocese of Sacramento Black Catholic Ministry. This is the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thanks, Mark, and thanks for all you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento with the Black Catholic Ministry. Jacqueline Aguilar, is that correct? Did I say that correctly?
Aguilar.
Aguilar. Okay. The new Respect Life Coordinator here in the Diocese of Sacramento joins us. Thank you. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We do so many phone interviews. It's nice to see people in person. Tell us about yourself. Where did you come from? Did you just drop in?
Well, I always say, ask and you'll receive. Mm-hmm. So my Lord heard my prayer. I always had a passion for Respect Life, especially the unborn. So pray to God that I want to work for you. I want to serve you, especially the most vulnerable. So John Watkins called, set me up an interview with Chris Owens, and here I am.
Here you are. How many days have you been on the job?
This is my second week.
Second week. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. So what were you in the pro-life ministry prior to that?
Well, I also wear another hat, which is Restorative Justice, uh-huh, with Get on the Bus, which is also very supported by the Pastoral Center in the diocese. Yes. So I've had a passion. I've always had a passion for those most in need and forgotten.
Yeah.
So Get on the Bus is another passion of mine.
Get on the Bus is where the children of people who are incarcerated are taken and treated very well and taken to the prison where their mom or their dad is and for a day, and sometimes a very long day, because some of them come from long distances. But it's a really beautiful program, founded by a nun, I believe, in Southern California.
That is correct. Yeah. Yes. The first event was in Chowchilla back in 2000.
And that's a women's prison, is that right?
Yeah. Now we're up to 12 different prisons, state prisons.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So have you gone along on these?
I have a group of volunteers, mm-hmm, who are committed to the program, and they volunteer their time, their energy, their passion as well,
right,
for caring for these families that we serve. And again, are often in the shadows,
yeah,
because they don't want to really talk about,
right,
they have a loved one in prison.
Right.
But this program really brings families together.
It's tremendous. Somebody had a great idea, and now it's really expanding, really all over the country, I think. Yeah.
That's correct, yeah.
So did you grow up in this area?
Yes, I grew up in Marysville.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
St. Joseph
in Marysville.
Really historic church in the diocese.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful parish.
It's a beautiful, mm-hmm, yeah, and a lot of wonderful people there.
That is right. I grew up there, and then I studied at Sac State, mm-hmm, social work, and I got married, and my husband is from here, from Citrus Heights, so
oh, wow,
I stayed here.
Where's your parish now?
Holy Family.
Oh, very good. Very good. Well, that's wonderful. Did your husband go to Sac State, too?
No, we actually met within a youth group. It's actually a retreat. The Retreat Search, which is also, uh-huh, very supported in a movement in the youth movement here in the diocese.
Oh,
so we met back in 2006. So it's just how marvelous our Lord is, how he plans out our life just perfectly if we let ourselves be
amazing.
Led by him.
I met my wife in Idaho just completely by chance, and you go, wow. If I hadn't stopped, and it's like the person I've been waiting for my whole life, you know, and you go, how could that have happened? And then you look up at the good Lord and say, thank you.
Amen. Yes, that's right. A destiny, Lord knows. And it's true. You kind of reflect upon, wow, if I would have not gone to that retreat, I would have never have met my husband.
Yeah. Well, so your people in Marysville and Yuba City, they get along?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
You're separated by the river there. I know there's a rivalry between the cities. Yeah.
I've never had experience any conflict with Yuba City folks.
It's like what you sometimes at about 5 o'clock, that bridge gets really crowded.
Yeah, I think they're going to build a second one. I think they're in the process of building a second one because of all the traffic.
And Marysville has that beautiful St. Joseph's, and Yuba City more recently, even though it's quite a while ago, St. Isidore. I just love that area and all the orchards and
It's quite beautiful. Yes. Yeah. Small town.
When I was growing up, we used to think of Marysville as peaches. You know, it was all the peaches, and now it's kind of almonds and everything else. What a great place to grow up, though.
Yes, yes.
You get those small town values, and
exactly.
Well, so, as a Respect Life coordinator, and October is Respect Life Month, although we don't forget it the other 11 months, but. So what all is going on with you and Respect Life?
Yes.
Of course, we're right into 40 Days for Life.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of activities go on during this month of October. It's also the month of the Rosary.
Right.
So it's another opportunity to grow spiritually in the love for our mother and for Jesus.
The Blessed Mother is the patroness of the Diocese of Sacramento and the patroness of the unborn.
She shares
it with St. Patrick, but they get along too.
Exactly. Yeah, they're the saints. The saints get along for sure. For sure. And yes, 40 Days for Life. The theme for this year is Christ, our hope in every season of life. And so this month of Respect Life, just how to respect each stage of life,
right?
You know, from moment of conception to till we take our last breath here on earth,
right.
Just the respect of God's will. And especially when I always had have a passion when praying outside of abortion clinics, knowing that we are being heard,
right?
And being witnesses of our Lord, being his hands and feet,
right.
Just being there in union and united in prayer. So there is, I'm kind of jumping ahead, but there is an, as for getting involved in being out there, we do have the local, we do have an abortion clinic that's very close here in Sacramento that we can go and pray outside of there. So it's in Butana, Butano Drive, 2322 Butano Drive in Sacramento. And there's the hours there from 8 to 6, Monday through Friday. So if there's opportunity for anyone who's listening to us this morning, to go and pray. And again, you can take your little ones too. I've taken my little one. She's two. And, it's a learning opportunity for her.
I took my four, well, they were little at the time. This is a number of years ago. Mm-hmm. Four little ones out there. And they gave them all a rosary. Mm-hmm. It was so nice. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And even holding a sign saying, I'm, pro-life.
Right.
I'm in being there and literally it's you're doing God's work.
Indeed.
You're doing God's work. And my little one would wave and saying, I'm alive. I'm here. I'm witnessing. Yeah. Mommy's, just having that experience for them at such a young age. I think you plant the seed early.
Right. Oh, no, that's. You know, it's absolutely true because if you don't, especially in California, there's so many contrary messages. that and then they go off to school and you know, the parents have less influence and they hear stuff about choice and, well, choice, that sounds right. I go into Baskin Robbins, I want choice, you know, and it's planting that seed early is very, very important. And that's a great point.
Exactly. And, you know, during this time, like you said, not just the month of October, but, you know, specifically this month is dedicated right. for Respect Life and also educating ourselves. Like you right. said, you know, we're often bombarded with, oh, what's, you know, what's, what does it mean to be pro-life? What's a what's the choice of choosing one life is more superior than other,
right.
you know, it's just being educated in our faith and along with prayer and fasting and learning more of how we can be that sacrifice, and we might suffer, but also our Lord suffered too.
Right.
So we will suffer, but we have hope in our Lord that things will get better. Things will get better, and He is with us yeah. during this journey, even if we feel sometimes, you know, we're not heard. But know that we are, that right. we are, and having faith in our Lord.
Now, October was also, and Marysville, Yuba City was where they founded the Life Chain, as well. Mm-hmm. Royce Dunn and some of those people up there. Founded the Life Chain. That's coming up too, I believe, but I don't have the date.
Yeah, I don't have the date either. I'm learning of these amazing, amazing ministries of.
There's so many.
So many. Yeah.
It's 40 Days for Life has kind of dominated our consciousness because it's everywhere and it's growing and growing and growing and growing. But there are also a lot of other ministries about life, whether it's Rachel's Vineyard or Life Chain, that's why Gabe is here. Life Chain, October 27th, it says, so towards the end of the month.
Awesome, awesome. Yes, the Life Chain, October 27th.
Yeah, so we will make a note of that, and we'll get Royce back on.
Exactly, and there's on the website.
Also the 6th of October. So a couple, I remember that from previous years, they have it on, depending on the area, different people will set their own dates.
And now that you mentioned the 6th of October, I believe that's Sunday,
that
correct?
Is.
That's also dedicated for Respect Life. That first Sunday of October, is dedicated to Respect Life. So have your prayers, you know, uplift those women who are pregnant, who are contemplating abortion. Just really uplift them and pray for them. Pray for their families, because oftentimes women are pressured, right? They're pressured and they feel like that's their only option,
or they're alone in it, mm-hmm. where they don't feel like anybody cares mm-hmm. or understands. And you know, it's so important that people, we in the pro-life side, treat people with complete compassion, and not judge their situation, you know. And it's the number of people I've talked to who, over the years, who are considering abortion, it's usually because they feel alone in it. You know, I mean, you hear financial and all these other reasons, but for the most part, it's like everybody says, I'm going to ruin my life if I have this child, and I feel all alone. Nobody really wants to help me.
Wow.
And there's so much help out there.
Exactly. Yeah, we have the pastoral care, right? We have the Gabriel Project,
right.
The Pregnancy Resource Centers, Maternity Homes, Project Rachel that you mentioned, just the community support.
Yeah, so I mean, we have
St. Teresa,
Bishop Gallegos, Maternity Home. Mm-hmm. We have the Sacramento Life Center.
Yes.
There's Alternatives Life Center.
In Marysville. Oh, now they're in Yuba City, the Women's Friend.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there's definitely help out there. We're, you know, they're not alone.
I was at the Yolo County Fair in August, and they have kind of the exhibits where all people, all different projects and things going on, people selling fudge. And here was this wonderful pro-life group that had started in Woodland. And it wasn't associated with Holy Rosary, which is a very pro-life parish, but it was just a group of citizens from Woodland who had started a pro-life ministry.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome. And I think that's important, too, to join a pro-life committee in your parish. If there isn't one, start one. Yes, talk to your pastor, talk to your priest, and say, I want to start a pro-life committee. And this is a great time to start, definitely this month of October. And know, if you feel that calling, that passion, go for it. You know, we are giving a spirit of life, a spirit that isn't afraid. So let's persevere and move forward.
So Jacqueline, this is your second week on the job. What are your challenges? You get up in the morning, you go, okay, I gotta do this, I gotta do that. What are the challenges?
I think right now is definitely a learning curve as for
learning everybody's name,
learning people. That's too, but also what sort of projects have been going on that I've not been aware of, because it's a lot of kind of behind the scenes what's already been in place, mm-hmm. and what also when God inspired me and give me that creativity to engage more people, the youth of all ages. It's just amazing how just day by day, just asking for the Lord's guidance, and so just continuing to learn more what the diocese has done and what it can improve on.
Mm-hmm. So, and the joys of your job must be a lot.
Yes, like I said, an answer to my prayer, that's one joy, knowing that our Lord hears us and his perfect timing, right? And just knowing that I'm doing God's work, I'm doing God's work of protecting his children, the women who are pregnant, those are also his children.
Right.
So the unborn to the elderly, and for healing as well, with Project Rachel as well. That's another, the healing of God's mercy.
I think a lot of people don't realize how important that ministry is, and how it's a great step forward for people for healing.
That's right. Also, I do want to mention that on the website, the Bishop Conference website, there's also specific intentions and also meditating each mystery of the Rosary.
Very good.
Yes, so it's specifically focusing on pro-life.
So usccb.org, their website, the Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Yes, they have on their link for Christ Our Hope. If you click on that one, then it'll take you to resources, and there's prayer intentions for each the mysteries for each day. So I thought that was beautiful when I saw that.
So what all is under the umbrella of Respect Life Ministry in the diocese? What there are variety of ministries within that, right?
Well, in my position, I'm specifically Respect Life.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there are other subcategories.
Right.
Yeah.
So is Rachel's Vineyard within that category?
Yes, that's right. Rachel's Vineyard is within the category. Yes.
And 40 Days for Life, even though it's not a diocesan program, is certainly supported by the diocese.
Correct. Yeah, 40 Days for Life is supported by the diocese, and it started September 22nd. So it runs from September 22nd through November 3rd.
Right.
Yes. So that's, opportunity for prayer, going and being active witnesses of our Lord's love and compassion. Also, it's a time to also educate, like I mentioned, educate yourself. There's amazing websites, you know, californiacatholic.org. We mentioned usccb.org/pro-life. It'll take you directly. Joining a Respect for Life committee.
There's Californians for Life as well.
Californians for Life. Also, there's the Walk for Life.
Coming up in San Francisco.
Yep, in San Francisco, January 25th.
January 20th. You already know the date.
It's my husband's birthday.
Oh, there you go.
So
the Lord is really working.
Yes. So it's another, you know, another opportunity to, again, join the thousands, millions.
It's a big deal.
It's a big event.
Yeah. Have you been to that one?
I have. Oh, I've gone.
It's fabulous. It's amazing.
It is.
Well, then you just stay and take your husband out to dinner or something.
Right.
March with a birthday cake.
March with a birthday cake. Yes.
It's all
and
about
celebrating
birth
life.
All.
Exactly. We're celebrating life.
Yeah.
That is right.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. I'll have to write that down.
So yes, if you haven't gone, maybe your parish is organizing a bus.
It's a great way to go because parking in San Francisco is not a lot of fun. Although, since they moved it to Civic Center Plaza, there is a big parking lot right under Civic Center Plaza, and I've always parked there and not had any trouble parking. But buses, it's great because there's a lot of fellowship, sometimes some pretty good food. And they let you off right at the site, and then they take you home, and it's a great adventure, really.
Yes, exactly. Usually, you leave early in the morning, and during the journey, you have, like you said, fellowship. You come together,
and
you pray together.
A lot of people pray in the rosary,
you worship our Lord, praise our Lord on your way over there, and you just revive, like your spirit is just like. So
it's
uplifted.
It's very encouraging to see that many people for the cause for life, and sometimes I think you can get discouraged or you wonder if you're all alone in it or not, seeing that many people and people marching with their banners from their parish or their youth group, it's really, I remember running into a group of kids from east of Bakersfield, and had come, they'd gotten on a bus like at 3 a.m. and to make it to San Francisco.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is awesome. That is awesome. Very, very much so.
Well, Jacqueline, we're so pleased to have you aboard and welcome. Mm-hmm. And
thank you.
Thanks for coming on the radio on short notice. And we'll look forward to seeing a lot more of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you all.
And God bless you too.
Amen.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.